Hi, everybody. I'm Rick Sanchez. You ready? Hey, we're on daily now. This show every single day. And that's important for us because there's a lot to say. I'm here to tell you that after being a journalist and a news presenter for four of the biggest television networks in the United States, it's time for context. It's time for some truth telling, you know? And in that vein, here's what we're going to be talking about today. Number one, America's top political comedian wants the president's staff fired for daring to disagree with the president. Number two, why is the U.S. parachuting box lunches to the people it is helping to kill? Think about that. Number three, the Pope says it's time to negotiate, but Zelensky says no, it's not. Why is he saying that? Here's the most important story of the day, though, and it's one that makes us ask this question. Just how bad have things gotten for the Ukrainian military these days? And the reason I'm asking that question is because something is being reported by Forbes that just happened over there, and it's pretty bad. It really is. You see, why it's bound, then, based on that story, to have a direct impact. Okay, now that we've set the table, let's get started. Do you remember when Donald Trump was in the White House and we often heard media reports from reporters and from talking heads on television about how important it was back then for the people in the White House, the people who work for Mr. Trump, to push back on the president, push back? It seemed like you could not turn on your TV back then without hearing somebody saying that a Trump staffer should be celebrated for taking on the president and for even defying the president. We should celebrate those people. That's what I was hearing that all the time. I think you probably would say you remember hearing that too. By the way, they're right. All of us, including the president of the United States, should have people around him or her, us, who can tell us when we're wrong and say, look, I'm sorry, but I know you're my boss, but I got to tell you, you're wrong. But apparently, that's not what these two very high-profile commentators in the United States think. Take a listen.
Weeks ago, members of the White House staff protested against their own president. We are congressional staffers on Capitol Hill also, and we are no longer comfortable staying silent. Well, you're staffers. You're supposed to stay silent. What are you talking about?
Yeah, you fired them.
My boss is doing a job, and I thought I'd go public with it. I mean, this is hundreds of people in Biden's staff and on congressional Democrat staff who are publicly going against them because they're not supporting Hamas enough.
You fire them, period. You fire all of them. That's it.
That's Dave Rubin on the Bill Maher Show. Did you hear that? What is he saying? You fire them right there. You fire them. You fire them all. And then you heard people, yay, applauding, fire them all. How dare they disagree? Have we gotten to that point in this country? Disagreeing with the president is a fireable offense? What is he, a king? I mean, should they also not be allowed to look at him when he walks in the halls? How dare they question our foreign policy? How dare they question the killing of some 30,000 people or so? You see that right there? Those are U.S. military officials you just watched dumping giant packages of food out of C-130s over Gaza so that the starving people of that bombed-out city can find something to eat. Ironically, one of the parachutes failed to deploy, and the food instead landed on top. This is a horrible story. It landed on top of a group of starving Palestinians, and it killed five of them. The food that was supposed to save them killed them. The fact is, there are about 2 million Palestinians in the Gaza area, and the food drops, while impressive looking, are barely enough to supply one meal per week per person. That is why this move on the part of the United States is being called hypocritical. And then on this same story, there's also this.
Overseas now, the U.S. is ramping up efforts to get aid to the starving people of Gaza. A logistics vessel now heading to the Eastern Mediterranean. President Biden has ordered the U.S. military to build a floating pier off the Gaza Strip. It will allow relief and supplies to be delivered by sea.
Yeah, it's a floating dock that's going to be used to deliver the critical humanitarian aid by sea to Gaza. The Biden administration says it may take as long as 2 months to become fully operational. We still don't know if Israel will actually allow in the food convoys. But the more important question here that it seems most of the world is asking, and if they're not, they have to be asking or should be asking, is just think about this for a minute. Stay with me here. Why would you supply Israel with arms and then both allow and, in fact, help the Israeli military bomb and kill the Palestinians living in Gaza? Why would you give them food? Why would you try and give them all this food, try and support them humanitarian terms, and then give Israel bombs to kill them? While you also want to make sure that they are fed, you also want to make sure that they are bombed? There's just something horribly macabre and weird, almost unprecedented, about this scenario that I just explained for you. One that makes me ask, if you want to help them, if you really want to help the Palestinians, stop sending the bombs that are killing them. Isn't that a much better solution than getting a tuna fish sandwich once a week? I mean, I bet that's what this guy would say.
Ma credo che è più forte quello che vede la situazione, pensa al popolo e ha il coraggio della bandiera bianca e negoziare.
That's Pope Francis making this comment some time ago, expressing his desire to have peace between Ukraine and Russia. And he suggested that the most courageous thing to do in a situation like this is to sit down and negotiate with your enemy. He did suggest what has become wildly reported worldwide, and that is that Ukraine is being defeated. He actually expressed that. And that's why it should raise the white flag. Francis said that when things were going badly, one had to show the, quote, courage of the white flag. Sounds like something Jesus would say. He's suggesting that there should be a negotiation. President Zelensky, for his part, shot down the Pope's suggestion, seeming to imply that Francis's message is not welcomed.
Я дякую кожному українському капелану, який з армією в силах оборони, там, на передовій, захищають життя і людяність, підтримують і молитвою, і розмовою, і справою. Ось що таке церква з людьми.
But here's the problem for President Zelensky. It's that whether he likes it or not, the Pope seems to be telling the truth in this case. Never before have more newsmakers, world leaders, even media outlets been more direct in their descriptions of Ukraine's situation being dire right now. Maybe even more like a lost cause, according to many of them. You take, for example, this story. This story broke over the weekend, and I found it fascinating. It's reported by a prominent U.S. media outlet, not a Russian media outlet, not an Iranian media outlet. This is in Forbes. Look at that. There's the headline. It says, a Russian drone spotted a Ukrainian Patriot air defense crew convoying near the front line. Soon, a Russian hypersonic missile streaked down. Fascinating story. You should read it, the way it tells how exactly this all came about. Now, according to the article, this is what is happening in Ukraine's Patriot missile launcher system, and apparently that they used it to shoot down Russian missiles. But those Patriot systems that are so important, obviously, they're being taken out. They're being taken out now by Russians, like what was reported in this piece. In fact, like this. Here, watch this. See that right there? Yeah. According to Forbes, this is incredibly important because Ukraine doesn't have many Patriot launchers left, and the U.S. will not be sending more anytime soon. And it's not just the loss of the Patriot launchers, but also the crew who know how to use these Patriot launchers. These are the things that shoot at the missiles and knock them down, right? There's not a lot of Ukrainians who know how to deploy these high-tech missile systems, says the article. By the way, the Patriot launchers were discovered by a Russian drone operator who just happened to be looking in that area, and he spotted them, and bye-bye. So what the article seems to be saying is that without a way to threaten Russia's missiles, the situation for Ukraine is only going to get worse, especially if Russia establishes air superiority. This story, while well told and certainly worth a read, is not unique. For the first time since this conflict began, at least as far as this reporter can tell, news reports are appearing all over the place in Western media. Have you noticed what's going on? I mean, I suddenly have seen all these reports everywhere that seem to be suggesting that Ukraine's situation militarily, politically, economically, culturally is, to put it mildly, on extremely shaky ground. All right, so here's what we're going to do. With all that said, when we come back, why are we seeing so many reports like this right now? And what does it say? That they're now writing all these stories that they never would have written, by the way, a year ago. We are going to be joined by military expert and author Andrei Martynyov, as well as by veteran war correspondent Elijah Monnier. We're going to be right back. Gentlemen, we'll get to it. Stay right there. Welcome back. I'm Rick Sanchez. So much to talk about. Joining us right now is Andrei Martynyov. He is a geopolitical and military affairs expert, as well as the author of a book, Losing Military Supremacy. Losing Military Supremacy. Boy, is he the perfect guest to talk to on this. Also, Elijah Monnier. He is a geopolitical analyst and a veteran war correspondent. Gentlemen, thanks so much for being with us here. By the way, I noticed this trend over the weekend. In fact, I'm going to do something here. I'm going to open my computer, and I'm going to literally do a search. And I'm going to put on here, ready? I'm going to write something down, and I'm going to show you something. Ukraine losing. I'm doing just a little search here on my computer on YouTube just to see what pops up. Because usually on YouTube, you don't get these kinds of stories. Number one. Ukraine about to suffer a catastrophic defeat. Number two, Elon Musk saying no way in hell that Russia's losing this war. Number three, Russia-Ukraine war. All is not well between Biden and Zelensky. Number four, I'm just reading these in the order and they appear right now here live. Ready? Zelensky knows he's about to lose Russia-Ukraine war. Peace talks coming. What I'm reading are stories that make it onto YouTube, and the only stories that make it onto YouTube are stories that's written by Western sources. Other words, you're not allowed to be on YouTube. And they're all saying roughly the same thing, that the situation for Ukraine is, putting it mildly, not good. Andrei, your take on that.
Ukraine lost the war when it started the counteroffensive. Reality is from the get-go, starting from the 24th of February 2022, when Russian forces entered the territory of the Ukraine and of Donbass republics, Russia never lost operational initiative on the front. But of course, it's operational strategic matters which do not make much into the media, which loves to concentrate on the tactical minutiae, you know, blowing the tank here and there, blowing this and that. But reality is, the moment Russia entered Ukraine, it was over. It was just a matter of how far Russian forces will go and what will be the terms of the surrender for Ukraine. So, and today it's just a matter of if Ukraine will continue to exist as the state, and if it exists as the state, to what rump, so to speak, it will be cut.
Now, you said oftentimes the media titillates people with meaningless stories about a tank that was blown up here or something like that. But I just showed some video there of Patriot systems being taken down. I found that story in Forbes this weekend fascinating. That does seem to me to be something which is significant and is worthy of a story. Tell us why.
Well, because of the dramatic reputational damage, which, you know, talked up and grossly embellished and exaggerated Western military machines have been. And basically now you see all those wanted weapon systems being destroyed. You have to remember the first Patriot system, including its most important part, which is a radar and control machine, so to speak, have been destroyed on the March in the March last year, exactly a year ago. Since then, you will look at the combat score of Russian, what is called Air Force, and not only Air Force, especially the missile forces. You will see yourself that a number of those air defense systems, which have been propagandized as the best in the world, they have been simply wiped out, be that NASAMS or be that Patriot. It makes no difference. Those systems are not capable to intercept hypersonic weapons. And even some supersonic missiles, such as Russian Kh-32, and even salvo of the subsonic missiles, they're simply not designed for that. And that's what they begin to admit now. But it was happening for a year at least.
Elijah, let me ask you a question on this. Do you think that the media sudden frenzy on reporting stories that seem almost anti-Ukraine, which is really weird, because everything that happened there 2 years ago was a pro-Ukraine story, and now we're seeing stories that seem like they're almost anti-Ukraine. Is this being caused in some way by friction in the White House? Are they getting their signals, their talking points from U.S. foreign policy experts, from think tanks, from the White House? What is sending them in this direction or giving them the permission to write these stories in their heads?
Well, propaganda can last to a certain point as long as the reality is not that obvious. Now, particularly after the failure of the counteroffensive that the whole world was waiting, that failure marked the end of the war in Ukraine. So it is very difficult today for 50 countries sitting all in Ramstein, Germany, planning and executing and supporting a war against Russia on Ukrainian soil to accept a defeat, particularly when President Biden is running a presidential election. Now, if the media is going to acknowledge the reality and say Ukraine has lost, that would be unfair, because it is the West has lost. There are 50 countries that have lost, including all the NATO countries, which doesn't give any sense to the presence of NATO confronting Russia when they've tried already in Ukraine for 2 years, and they have failed, even if Ukraine was not stingy in presenting all its men and women, all the infrastructure, and was ready to sacrifice everything to become part of the Western club. But it has failed, and all the 50 nations have failed. We can no longer hide it in Europe and in the West.
That's interesting the way you just put that, because you know what you're making me think as I hear you saying this? You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking of a man who goes to a playground and gets a 5-year-old boy and says to him, come here, I want you to go beat that guy up, and puts him in a fight with a big, strong guy who's 25 years old or something and says, go over there, I want you to fight him, and I'm not, and if you don't beat him up, I'm going to beat you. Or almost like, it's not the Ukrainian, what you're saying is Ukraine is not to blame. It's the people who push Ukraine into this situation who are to blame. Am I misreading your words?
Absolutely. It is on April 2022 when our Prime Minister Boris Johnson went to Ukraine and took Zelensky to tell him that you cannot stop the war and we will back you up and we are all in. So Zelensky, just to be part of the EU and to be promised to become part of NATO, not only that, it's because even in Europe, we were told by the Americans that Russia is going to fall in different pieces. We're going to divide Russia in 27 countries, and we're going to loot, because this is what we have done for the last decades, is looting other continents. We're going to loot all the Russian natural resources, because it is not fair for Russia to have all these natural resources on its own. So today we have realized that all that was a charade, that we've put all the money on the table when we don't have money and we have inflation going up, while Russia is doing much better than the whole of NATO and the European Union. So yes, it is exactly how you have described it.
You know, I'm wondering, Andre, you're a military expert, is there enough information for President Zelensky to know, if he really wanted to know, that the situation is dire militarily for him? Or has he simply convinced himself that he's not willing to face that? Well, how do you read him?
Well, it's both. The information is there, especially considering the fact that NATO advisors are on the ground and he's surrounded by all kinds of people representative of the special services such as MI6 or CIA. Mm-hmm. So they are telling him. But then again, you have to understand that he put everything on the line for himself and his family. He obviously enriched himself dramatically, and he wants to have this gravy train running. And the only way he can do it is to selling, which Kyiv regime was doing for the last 2 years, selling this picture of the successful Ukraine, you know, resisting Russians and winning them, beating them, while actually quite opposite is true.
Let me push back on you and defend him a little bit here. Do you really think it's almost a character flaw with him? Or could we give him the benefit of the doubt and say, look, he's a proud Ukrainian and he's just defending his country and he's going to try and fight to the very end, and it has nothing to do with his greed or his corruption or any of those other things? Can I make that argument for him, or how would you defend it?
No. His psychological outlook is quite obvious. It doesn't take it's basically psychology 101, especially for those who know what Ukraine has become in the last 30 years, to understand what drives him. And do not forget, he's a comedian. He's not a statesman. He doesn't have the basic skills of statesmanship. So he is basically a puppet of the West. And he runs, the only thing which he has of his own is, as I already stated, it was selling this picture to the West to have their gravy train running. I don't know how many viewers he has right now, but I heard quite a few, including in Miami, so there you go. That pretty much explains everything you need to know. And he found himself soulmates in neocons in Washington, D.C.
Elijah,
it's, you know, their coalition of the willing. So
Now, you make a good argument, and I understand. Elijah, last question to you. We're only down to about 1 minute, but I'd like you to finish this for me. How big, our viewers want to know, is Russia's military advantage right now?
Russia makes more ammunition in a year than the whole of the United States and Europe multiplied by 3 times. This is not a fair war, because first of all, Russia has a huge army. Secondly, it has the patience to go on the pace as it wants. We've seen how it is conducting the war in Ukraine. It has restrained from going into a nuclear war with the several provocations that were offered by the West to provoke Russia, and we didn't see that. Russia doesn't have ambition to go beyond this objective, denazification, and make sure that Ukraine is not part of NATO, and that's it.
Sounds like we're going to have some kind of deal here very soon, judging from what I hear you gentlemen say. It's really been a pleasure talking to you both. You're very smart, and I appreciate the wisdom that you shared with us on this day. Andre, Elijah, my thanks to you both. Thank you so again. All right, so before I go, after hearing conversations like this from people like this, I'm left thinking that it's really important for us to follow our mission, to kind of de-silo the world and just go for the facts. You know, truths don't live in little boxes. Truths are everywhere. And that's what we're trying to achieve here every day now for you. I'm Rick Sanchez, and I'll be looking for you again, where we hope to provide a direct impact.